From the front lines of the information war, this is The War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on band.video and X worldwide.
Folks, there's the live footage of the Artemis spacecraft that will soon be taking American astronauts to the dark side of the moon, where I vacation. Very exciting stuff. A reminder that if we felt like it, that this could be what we turn all of our energy towards. Wouldn't that be something? Exploring space, achieving great things, conquering unknown vistas. No. Instead, we're being bankrupt by Somali scammers, going to war in Iran for a foreign state, and now it's legal to poison us, apparently. So we're going to talk about that with Tiffany Cianci. We're getting connected with her right now. In the meantime, I'd like to go to a few stories here that don't really fit in with our other topics. And this first one, I'd like to... go to clip 44 after this, but the report from NBC News as of yesterday says Medicaid cuts threaten hundreds of hospitals, new report finds. So more than 400 hospitals, they say, across the United States are at high risk of closing or cutting services because of the Medicaid cuts in President Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Bill. According to, get this, an analysis from progressive watchdog group Public Citizen. Okay. Oh, the progressive Democrats have said that Trump's cuts are hurting people. I guess we can't do it anymore. Here's the problem, though. NBC themselves made a report 2 years ago, 3 years ago at this point, 2023, about the real reason that hospitals were overloaded and going bankrupt. Let's go to clip 44 here.
We're back now with a record number of migrants crossing into the U.S., pushing resources to the limit in many American cities. Now hospitals are sounding the alarm, saying they're also overwhelmed, including some far from the border. Julia Ainsley has our report.
Tonight, the border crisis surging. Officials telling NBC News there were over 200,000 illegal crossings at the southern border last month.
Remember what
and
it was
a record
like in
3 million migrants crossed the border in the last year. Now a new warning, 1,000 miles away in New York City, where officials tell us resources are overwhelmed. Across public hospitals in New York City over the last year, nearly 30,000 visits by migrants and 300 new babies born to migrant moms. Staff here at Bellevue Hospital tell us they're eager to help, but the numbers are tough.
This has been the hardest work that I've ever done, but it's been the most impactful work that I've ever done.
And most of the visits to the taxpayer-funded legal clinic here are by migrants.
Our clinics are full, and there are waiting lists, and people are turning people away or referring them to other places.
Randy Redkin from New York's Legal Assistance Group says so many migrants are asking for legal help on asylum representation and health care access. Now, she says, American citizens who need legal assistance with issues like eviction and insurance have to wait up to 10 weeks.
If you ask me, do we need more resources for legal services, I would say absolutely yes.
Meanwhile, New York's governor now slamming the situation at the border.
It is too open right now. People coming from all over the world are finding their way through, simply saying they need asylum.
And New York Mayor Eric Adams saying providing services for migrants will cost city taxpayers $12 billion. But Biden administration officials have blamed Adams' response. It is not an operationally sound effort, one senior DHS official told NBC News. Meanwhile, migrants on the streets are desperate for city help. We met Orlando, who fled violence in Venezuela. He didn't want to appear on camera, telling us he slept on the street before coming to Bellevue for cancer treatment.
How is that for you, given your medical condition, to be sleeping on the street?
You have to make believe it's a good bed, a king size, and you lie down wherever and go to sleep, he says. Orlando tells us he came to New York because he heard about the social services the city would offer to migrants like himself, who were trying to start a new life.
The Biden administration recently granted temporary legal status to nearly 500,000 Venezuelans, allowing them to work. Today, Governor Hochul announced there are 18,000 jobs now available to eligible migrants.
Thanks for watching. Stay updated.
Thanks for watching. Stay updated on how the Biden administration is systematically destroying your country. and we're covering for him. I remember y'all just that was a little trip back to the past, what it used to be like in old 2023. Outrageous, insane, treasonous, every single part of that, everybody involved needs to be charged with something. So that's actually the problem. The actual problem with America's hospitals is not that they're inefficient. Well, they are deeply inefficient. Actually, there's another problem on top of all of it, which if we come to .cam, the 3,000% growth in administrators versus doctors. HHS cuts target the real problem. So yeah, this chart, this is growth over time, starting from 1970 to 2009. You can see the number of physicians basically remained entirely flat, like hardly raises at all. Meanwhile, the administrators looks like friggin' Mount Everest over here. This is the problem. Like, we have this thing in America where you look at just the latest bill versus the money that we have, and it's like, oh my God, we need more money. Well, what about the bill? What is added to this bill? How about we go back in time and we undo some of the problems that got us to this point? The hospitals in America, like, we're America. We are the pioneers of modern hospital technology the world over. Like, it has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with us. If Americans were left alone, our hospitals would continue to be the best in the world. They'd also be incredibly cheap and affordable and efficient and available for you at any time. Instead, what's happened is you had Obamacare come in and make insurance utterly unaffordable for anybody because you gave a blank check to the insurance companies to write to themselves, charging whatever the hell they want for whatever the hell they want. And they're in cooperation with the hospitals when they do this. This is how you get things like, you know, $20 for a aspirin pill because no real human being's having to pay for it. The insurance company is, you know, billing you over time and that cost will be spread out. They'll get their money. Hospitals get their money. All of this facilitated by the interruption of business by the government coming in and trying to make it cheaper for everybody. Excuse me, made it significantly worse for everybody. But then on top of that, you have migrants coming in who don't pay for health care. For them, there's universal health care in America. Not for you. If you go to the hospital, you'll be stuck with a medical bill. You'll have to go bankrupt if you can't pay for it, or you'll be denied your pre-existing conditions. For the illegal immigrants that come in, they go to the hospital, they get whatever the hell they need, then they walk out, and the bill gets sent to you. They set this up to be this way. And, of course, the incentive for the migrants becomes go to the hospital for whatever. It literally costs them nothing. So now, if you fall off a ladder and break your leg and are sitting in the waiting room with extreme pain, you know, trying to get your body fixed, you're sitting behind 50 illegal immigrants who are there for because they have the sniffles. Why wouldn't they go to the ER? Like, we have to think about it, right? Americans have to go, ooh, is this worth the $1,000 ambulance ride and the $2,000 hospital stay? Is it really that big, or can I walk this off, or can I, you know, book my doctor in a month and still be okay then? We actually have to take that into consideration. You wouldn't have to if it was free. And by free, I mean somebody else paying for it. So, but we don't look at any of this. It's like, how did the hospital become insolvent? Well, participation of the government, the expansion of Medicaid, the fact that they're allowing illegal immigrants to take advantage of our system. And I believe in California, I think I have this right, what they would do would be basically hide the fact that it was an illegal alien. And they would basically charge all of the illegal alien stuff through Medicaid or Medicare, basically pretending like it was what they needed just for Americans treatment. They just hide where the money was actually going, that it was going to people who don't qualify for these things. But we don't look at any of that. For some reason, we cannot possibly go back and say, how did we get to this point? It's like all we can do is just provide more money as a patch on the problem, which means we're never getting to the underlying fundamental disconnect at play, which means the problems are only going to get worse, especially when you have everything that contributed to the insolvency of the modern medical system only getting worse over time, only being exacerbated, only with more and more migrants coming in and taking advantage of our system and doing it because they want to take advantage of our system. Like in that, you know, video report you just saw, it's like, oh, he came here because he knew that New York would treat his cancer. Like, doesn't everywhere else in the world have, are we constantly being told that America is this evil, unique country that doesn't have universal health care? How about we just send them all to Canada? How about if they want to have universal health care, we have a next door neighbor that provides such a service. What if everybody who comes to America and goes to an American hospital gets put in a vacuum tube and shloop, shot straight to Canada? I think that would be a good solution because, in effect, they're like forcing us to have the worst parts of universal health care. We pay endlessly for universal health care for people who never paid into it in the first place, have never paid taxes here in America. What the hell are we doing? Everything is like this. Why is literally everything like this? Where's the reset button? How do we power down for a decade and then power back up? Because our problem is that we're working with a legacy system, essentially. Especially if you're like a computer programmer or, you know, if you, it's always easier to start with a blank slate, right? The old joke, why was, how did God create the world in 7 days? Well, he wasn't working with a legacy system. He didn't have to figure out all of the nuances that had been established over decades that don't make any sense anymore, whether it's the birthright citizenship law or the healthcare situation. It's like somehow, and it's weird because it's almost always the Democrats who are doing this. And there's a phenomenon almost in which whatever the Democrats put into place just becomes permanent. And it's like unthinkable to even suggest that we could undo it at some point. That's what happened with the Supreme Court, or it wasn't the Supreme Court, but the state court decision today about immigration. And saying basically, well, you know, the Biden administration decided all of a sudden to create an app so people could circumvent the asylum system by clicking a button on their phone. And there's no precedent for him to be able to do that. There's nothing about this app that qualifies people for asylum. They literally just decided to not enforce the law they're obligated to enforce. And now we can't undo that. Now, apparently, because they did that once, it's just that's the case forever. Now, from here until evermore, anybody they came across is an asylum seeker and I guess a citizen, and anybody else who wants to come across can use that same app, and it's just that's the way it is. How about we go back and we just undo all of the bad things? It's not actually that complicated or hard to figure out how to do it, only the way this stuff is designed is to get us into these quagmires, is to get us into these circumstances where, okay, implementing this thing is easy, and no one's going to really stop you because it's not affecting anybody personally. Right. It would take like for us to stop the CBP One app, we'd have to like file a case showing that the CBP One app was used to hurt us personally. And we'd have to have a dollar amount fixed to it. Like our system is not set up to deal with these things. What it's set up to do is implement these massive sweeping changes across all of society and then make it impossible to ever get back. They can implement it. No issues, no problems. It's just done. They just destroy the, you know, foundational identity of our country, the fact that we have borders. They just eradicate that. Nobody stops them. They do it with a wave of the hand. But if you want to undo that, it's impossible. Now you're talking about hurting people because, well, people came across here with the CBP One app. They would be the ones who were kicked out. So they are able to hire lawyers with money from NGOs or probably from the government themselves and argue, hey, this change in law hurts me personally. I need an injunction. And so they can implement this stuff with no barriers. To undo it is impossible. And this is ridiculous and a game they're playing. And I say we flip the board and do what we need to anyway, because we're trying to save the country and in effect the world here. So what are we waiting for? Well, we're waiting for Tiffany Cianci. Is she on? Have we connected with Tiffany? I understand we have. Tiffany Cianci is an activist raising awareness about the critical threat that private equity poses to American society. She's raising the alarm and putting pressure on private equity firms that are covertly monopolizing entire industries by using hostile takeovers and kangaroo courts. You can learn how to fight back by following her on X at The Vino Mom or by going to TiffanyCianci.com. But of course, she's here to talk about pesticides. You're really, you know, you keep a lot of plates spinning in the air, Tiffany, and have your finger on a lot of pulses of what's going on. And It's all terrible. Everything happening to us is terrible, but we're happy to have you to explain it to us. Welcome to the show, Tiffany.
I apologize in advance. I'll try not to black pill any more than I absolutely have to.
Yeah, I don't know if you can black pill any more than I am at this point with the war in Iran and then everything else going on. But let's get right down to it. What has happened today? I know you have some exclusive information for us. Lay it out for us. What are you here to tell the people?
Today's been a really hard day for Maha. There's been some good stuff and there's been some bad stuff. One, the state of Kentucky, the Modern Ag Alliance was trying to force through pesticide immunity there, as they have already done in Georgia and North Dakota and are trying to do in Tennessee, Missouri, and a dozen other states. They've been spending a ton of money buying people in the legislature, and they got pesticide immunity through 11 days ago. And then the governor vetoed it. He's like, absolutely not. You know, we here in Kentucky, are a state built on farmers. And our farmers, if they get injured, they need to be able to sue. Well, today, the Republican supermajority overrode the veto and granted pesticide immunity to Bayer Monsanto.
Whoa. All right. So they passed pesticide immunity, which is bad. We do not want pesticide immunity. We want Bayer Monsanto to be able to be sued by people who they give cancer to. So they passed the immunity bill. The governor actually vetoes it. That's surprising. Something good happening. And then they overrode that with it. That's how much they care about this. That's how much they're able to unify in the Republican Party for Kansas for this utterly damaging and horrible law. We can come together about something.
Party line vote. Yeah, it was all Republicans, really disappointing. It's been relentless this entire legislative term, not just in the states, not just in the federal level. We've seen pesticide immunity popping up in every state that has significant numbers of farmers or farming as a significant point of GDP for them. And it's all been funded. And I don't want to point out, Bayer Monsanto is a German company.
Right.
They're not Americans. This is a German company spending tens of millions of dollars to avoid tens of billions of dollars in liability for killing our farmers. And they are spending tens of millions of dollars this legislative session to save themselves tens of billions. Well, so today, one good thing that we did have happen is we had three groups that are MAHA aligned submit amicus briefs to the Supreme Court, asking the Supreme Court to not grant pesticide immunity at their oral arguments on April 27th. And Senator Cory Booker also had his staff submit an amicus brief saying that American farmers need to be able to have a private right of action to sue a company that knowingly withholds information or fails to provide information that they are prone to giving you cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, liver disease, kidney disease. Like, these are things that, first of all, glyphosate seems to be the pesticide that is primarily at the heart of these issues. Well, oftentimes our EPA has relied on a study they've cited that said that glyphosate was safe. That study has now been overturned by courts that found out that Bayer Monsanto and their allies funded that study and had their own sources ghostwrite it. Wow. So it's no longer valid. It's been vacated. Wow. But that's the study they're relying on to say, oh, we said it was safe, so nobody should be able to sue when we kill them.
And this
these are farmers, these are children.
This is a very common thing. Monsanto and Bayer, I mean, they've been discovered having, you know, black ops sections in their company that are there to intimidate journalists to stop them from saying the truth about pesticides, allegedly, I should add. But, I mean, this has been written about for years. I mean, they spend a lot of money and they work very hard to make sure that this information is not available.
Correct. And, you know, when you see, aside from TikTok ban, I have never seen anything outside of funding our greatest ally that has ever cropped up over and over again in a legislative session like absolute cancer, like a virus. We have defeated pesticide immunity literally a dozen times this legislative session. The American people have made it clear 98% of them do not support this. They don't want pesticide immunity granted to these companies because what company has ever needed immunity when they weren't doing anything wrong,
right?
We know that farmers are getting sick. We know these farmers are dying of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma at rates thousands of times higher than the next closest profession.
Yep.
We know it's not all the fresh air. We know it's not all the good food. It's their exposure to pesticides. We know that.
Of course. And some of the biggest decisions ever have come out of these cases about Roundup causing cancer. I mean, it's been proven over and over again. And you're right. It's just this relentless push, and we have to constantly be fighting back. All they need to do is win once. We have to win every time to fight this back. It's so ridiculous. And I mean, just the more you think about it, the more crazy it is, because obviously with any other product, you'd say, hey, you know what? If it's really dangerous and you can't sue, don't use the product. But you're not able to not use these products because of the genetic modification. So this is absolutely something that they need to be able to be sued for.
Yeah. You know, right now we have literally a 20-front war on this pesticide initiative, right? We have them fighting in every state in the United States. We have them fighting with multiple mechanisms, multiple weapons. They're trying to do it in state legislatures. They're trying to do it through, look what happened in Florida. They almost got through an anti-First Amendment bill that said, if you said anything bad about a pesticide, you could be held liable for defamation without cause.
Crazy.
Okay, that was very narrowly defeated, right? We have it going on in Tennessee, Missouri. We see it in Georgia. They've already gotten it through in Georgia and North Dakota. They're trying to do it in North Carolina right now. We narrowly defeated it in Wyoming, where it's finally dead. But now they're also doing it in bill after bill after bill at the federal level. We saw it in the appropriations bill in the Senate and the appropriations bill in the House. And now, just in the last couple of weeks, they've snuck it back into the farm bill. No. The same bill that President Trump just toted out at the White House, brought hundreds of farmers to show them how much he loves farmers, and says that he is pushing for an immediate passage of this farm bill. Of course he is. Dear Monsanto has given his administration $9.125 million. He has 19 Bear Monsanto planted officials in this administration right now, starting with his chief of staff, Susie Wiles, and going all the way down to the mailroom. Of course he is. I'm sorry, why can't we pass a farm bill that's good for farmers instead of mega corporations?
I don't know. It really is utterly outrageous. And again, it's like, okay, farmers just not going to vote for Trump anymore. I mean, that's like almost impossible to ask too. And look, I'm not a big fan of Cory Booker. I'm a big fan of him putting an amicus brief before the Supreme Court to stop pesticide immunity. So it's like, Just add it to the list of things that Republicans should be the champions of. We should be the champions of farmers. We should be the champions of small businesses. We should not allow these big corporations that are globalist and totally anti-American to come in and literally kill our farmers with no recompense. I mean, unbelievably outrageous, as always, as it continues to be. More with Tiffany Cianci on the other side. Follow her on X at The Vino Mom. Don't go anywhere.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultrastore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bentley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good, because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working, because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering it. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 World